clock here on Downtown.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading.
48 years ago, this song not only took the country, but the entire world by storm. Eva Destruction, Barry Maguire's smash hit that was written by our next guest, a legendary songwriter who is back with a brand new book entitled What's Exactly the Matter with Me, a wonderful new album, My Beethoven, and this coming year will be inducted into the American Singer-Songwriter Hall of Fame. P.F. Sloan, it's a great pleasure to have you with us on Downtown. Welcome.
Well, hi, Rich. Pleasure is all mine. Wonderful to talk with you.
Want to start with the newest project, and the album, My Beethoven, is just absolutely breathtakingly beautiful music. Some songs on there that I think are among the best you've ever done. I love A Day in the Country, In Celebration of, The Canto. Obviously, Beethoven inspired you. What parallels did you find to your own career in Ludwig von Beethoven?
Rich, I've found that... That in my early youth, I was compared tremendously to Bob Dylan, and I found that Ludwig van Beethoven was constantly compared to Mozart, and I felt that connection of always trying to get out of the shadow of someone else. I also found that that Louis played a lot of folk guitar.
Yeah, absolutely, and you refer that and reference some of his own work in My Beethoven, but it's just an incredible album, and this is out at the same time that this terrific book. I've read a lot of music biographies and autobiographies. This is simply one of the best I've ever read. What's Exactly the Matter with Me that you wrote along with S.E. Feinberg. How difficult was it for you to go back and revisit some of these times in your career and your life that were certainly difficult to get through at the time? How hard was it to go back and experience them again?
Not as hard as you might think. What I noticed was basically I've been a fan of music my whole life, so no matter what seemed to happen to me personally that was either good or bad, just the thrill and the wonder of being part of it was etched on my memory, and so it was kind of all there, just waiting to come out.
Well, there are so many wonderful stories. We could spend an hour just sharing some of the stories from the book, but a few I wanted to touch on. And let's start with what happened when you ran into Elvis Presley at, I think, the age of 12, and he taught you how to play Love Me Tender on guitar. But it wasn't just the guitar lesson. It was the feeling that you got from him that made this an incredible experience for you.
It was. It was the greatest moment in my life, not for meeting a celebrity, and not just a celebrity, but the superstar of the century. It was the love, the just absolute love and friendliness and openness and things that I really had imagined I would be getting in my family life, but it wasn't really there. So Elvis began the learning process of learning how to love yourself and then learning to love others.
Well, that certainly led to some amazing things in your career. At a very young age, signed to a recording contract, then as Flip Sloan, went on to work with people like Jan and Dean and write with them, be a guitarist, work in the studio, do some arranging, some producing, and then came to the attention of one of the legendary figures in music, Lou Adler, who provided you with some great opportunities, but also in the end took away so much of what was important to you.
It was a lesson that if I was told at that age what I was going to experience, I might have backed off. But the experience of being around music and musicians and especially the golden age of the mid 60s all the way through the 70s was really just an absolute privilege.
Well, so many wonderful songs. And Where Were You When I Needed You, Secret Agent Man, Go Where You Want to Go, A Must to Avoid for Herman's Hermits, You Baby for the Turtles and others. But some of your best work came to you all in one magical night. Can you tell that story?
I can. It's hard to describe. It was cataclysmic, I guess. I don't know the word for it. I seemed to be taken over by a higher consciousness than this 18-year-old just out of college. And this consciousness seemed to be aware that I wanted to write songs and began to dictate to me the lyrics to Eve of Destruction and Sins of a Family and Take Me for What I'm Worth. And five songs came out in one evening, and every one of them wound up becoming successful.
Well, Eve of Destruction, of course, became not only a huge smash, but it became an anthem for young people and certainly was a large factor in the passage of the 26th Amendment, earning 18-year-olds the right to vote. And yet, while that was so successful for you, it scared the heck out of a lot of people in the music industry. What was it about that song and about you and this alter ego of P.F. Sloan that scared so many people in the music business?
I've had time to ponder about it. It wasn't about me or the song, I think. It was about the people that were listening to the song that were beginning to be able to articulate the fears that they were feeling in a society that was pretending to keep everybody safe. And I think that the powers that be resented that coming out.
We're talking with Phil Sloan, P.F. Sloan. You wanted to be a singer-songwriter. There were others within that Screen Gems family, of course, that wanted to do the same thing back in the East Coast, most notably Carole King. You met some resistance from that, but you also got some support and some warnings from someone who's proved to be a very good friend to you in Bob Dylan.
Yes, what people find remarkable is that they think that Bob started out a star. He wasn't really very well liked at Columbia Records. They didn't like the singer-songwriter. Believe it or not, Rich, Capitol didn't like the Beatles. They didn't like the idea of singer-songwriters. There was a system in place where the singer sang songs, the writers wrote songs, and the producers produced songs. And with the coming of the singer-songwriter, that was all being merged in one, and that was a big threat to the music business at that time.
Well, and you saw that coming, too, because you opened the acetates for the early Beatles songs from Brian Epstein and tried to convince the folks through VJ Records that these guys were going to be big, and then you had the same reaction to the Rolling Stones, and not everybody saw that as early as you did.
No, it's amazing with hindsight. You know, I'm sure that at any bar at any time, anyone would say that if you heard the Beatles' acetate, you would have said, you know, my God, you know, they're going to be huge. But that wasn't the case. Nobody heard it.
Well, you went through such a difficult time. It forced out of the music business. I think I saw you say 40 years wandering in the desert. You've come back to music. A wonderful album back in 06, Sail Over. And along the way, you got some help from a lot of people. But one of them is somebody that we'll have on our show this coming Wednesday, and that's Noel Paul Stuckey. Can you share how Paul Stuckey helped you with finding the help that you needed along the way?
Well, Paul Stuckey is a major talent, and the fact that he saw something in me that was worth saving when everyone else was pretty much allowing me to be thrown away, he came to the rescue and just built up my self-confidence. And I was in deep trouble living in Greenwich Village because I was a California kid. And if it wasn't for his help, I don't believe I would have made it.
There have been so many interesting things that have happened to you in your life, and sometimes it's almost as if there were some sort of master plan. One of your best lyrics from Secret Agent Man, and one that I know you love, is Bleeding in a Bombay Alley Next Day. And India has played such an important role in your life. I think you've made some 10 trips there, but it was really a trip to India that, that helped you find some peace in your life. Can you talk about that?
God works in mysterious ways. I was extremely ill, living at home, penniless, and a holy man in India came to me in a dream and said, if you come to India, I will heal you. And the next thing I know, money started coming in, and there I was in India sitting in front of him, and he began the healing process that's been going on through my life.
You have been treated badly by some people in the music business. There's no question about that. And yet in the book, What's Exactly the Matter with Me, you found a way to forgive all those people. Was it that spirituality that you learned in your time in India that, that made it possible to forgive all these folks?
It must have. It must have made it possible, because I think most people want to forgive, but, you know, when the crime is heinous, it takes a lot of inner strength to be able to forgive those that did that and realize that the forgiveness is helping you to heal. It's not hurting them anymore.
One of the things that happened, of course, early in your career is that you were in a battle to get the royalties that you earned for all of those hit records. Were you ever able to recoup any of that money that was taken from you?
That's a good question. It occurred about 6 years ago. Universal Music, whose name will go unsaid, basically agreed that that what was done to me was wrong. And though I, you know, was not able to recover, you know, the main bulk of it, you know, I'm back on the list of getting monies from songs, which is wonderful.
So many new people are discovering your work these days, and perhaps most notably the wonderful singer Rumor, who has recorded the Jimmy Webb song, P.F. Sloan. You also performed with her in a live appearance there. What's that, not only professional relationship, but friendship meant to you?
Oh, she is such a divine artist. She is so talented, and you know, she did not know that that P.F. Sloan was a real person. I would probably go so far to say, as most people don't think that P.F. Sloan's a real person. So she was very surprised to find out that I was, and we connected, you know, on a very heart-loving level.
After all you've been through, Phil, are you able to look back now, turn on the radio or anywhere where you hear music these days, and take pride in the fact that you were responsible in many ways for a large portion of the soundtrack of that decade?
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, it's a dream. You know, it's really kind of wonderful to think, you know, that I was able to do some good work and still am. But the whole thing is just a fabulous dream, and you know, I'm just loving it.
Well, back then when you were writing in the kind of the factory system, you were working for, I think, something like, what, $10 a song. These days you're making money purely, making music purely for the love of it. And obviously money's good too, but you're out from the control of other people. Is it even more joyful now to be able to work on something like My Beethoven?
Well, My Beethoven is special, and I couldn't ever do anything like that again. It took a decade to complete. No, I couldn't have done that under a studio system. But those songs were unique and special. Other songs seem to come out quicker and, you know, are easier to record than these. These I had to learn how to do orchestrations and play piano and the like that.
Well, it's great to have you making music. The book, What's Exactly the Matter with Me, is wonderful. Congratulations as well on the upcoming induction into the American Singer-Songwriters Hall of Fame. But best of all, congratulations on making it through and being what sounds like in a very good place.
I am, Rich. Thank you. And happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays.
Thank you very much. Continued success.
Thank you, Rich.
That's Phil Sloan, P.F. Sloan, joining us here on Downtown. Again, the wonderful book, What's Exactly the Matter with Me, and a beautiful new album, My Beethoven. Check them out when you get a chance. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Downtown. It's 92.9 The Ticket. Here's a little P.F. Sloan song, as recorded by Johnny Rivers.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see.